الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله أحد. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are on lesson 37, discussing the sources of Shariat, how laws are formulated. We have been discussing about Qiyas, and we are on part 6 of that. We have, alhamdulillah, mentioned how the system of Qiyas works, and proven from Quran and the way of the Sahaba that they used to look at Quran first, then Sunnat, then Ijma. They should either call all the Sahaba who had knowledge of that masala, discuss it and come to some conclusion. Or Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala should say that he should look at the Quran and the Sunnah, and then if no solution was found, he should look at the rulings of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Huma. And if no ruling was found there, then he will now make ijtihad. This very same pattern was followed by Hazrat Abu Darda, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhum. They used to give rulings from their own ijtihad, proving that Qiyas is a shari proof and there is nothing wrong with it. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood, our 13th proof, was the Mufti of Darul Uloom Kufa. His proclamation was, and it is recorded in Babul Hukum in Nisaya, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood should say, if any of you is forced with a matter to rule over after today, then he should rule in conjunction with the Quran. If no such solution is found in Quran, then he should see what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled in that similar matter. If he comes across a matter which is neither in the Quran nor the Sunnah, then he should rule as the pious predecessors have ruled. The Salafus Salihin. Now remember that he is talking, and when he is talking of the pious predecessors, he is talking of the Sahaba who have gone by. If he comes across a matter which is neither in the Quran, nor in the Sunnah, nor have the pious predecessors ruled in a similar case, then he should make ijtihad and rule accordingly. Now here very clearly, the Mufti of Kufa, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from whom the Hanafis get their fiqh, he is saying, and he's putting down the system, and obviously because the fiqh Hanafi is rooted in the narrations and understanding and comprehension of Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's laying down the methodology of formulation of rules, that if nothing is found in the Quran, then we'll look in the what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And if nothing is found there, then we look at the pious predecessors. And if nothing is found in the rulings of the pious predecessors, then we will start looking and making ijtihad. Remember, this is the same formula which the Hanafis use. Because if you look at one of the chains of how Hanafi fiqh comes about, is Hazrat Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and he'll get his information and knowledge and everything from Hazrat Hamad bin Abi Sulaiman rahmatullah alayh, who will get information from Ibrahim Nakhi rahmatullah alayh, and Ibrahim Nakhi rahmatullah alayh together with Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh will get their information from Qazi Shurey rahmatullah alayh, Alqama bin Qais, Mashruq bin Ajjad, who will get their information from Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who will get their information from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you have to shorten this link, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh till Hazrat Ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another chain of link between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Ata bin Rabah, and from there to 200 sahabas, from there to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another link from the fiqh of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, from Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from there right up to Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, Hazrat Jabir, Hazrat Abu Qatada, all of them linked to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of them follow the system which we are talking about, that you follow the Quran. If it is not there, the solution is not there, then you follow the Sunnah. If the solution is not there, you look at the life of the pious predecessors. If it is not there, then you make ijtihad. And this ijtihad will, inshallah, put a person into the right position. That is why Qazi Ibrahim al-Hanafi rahmatullah alayh, he states, if there existed a reason for instituting an act during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but due to some temporary excuse it was omitted, and then after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise, when this temporary excuse was removed, then it would be permissible to initiate such an act. For example, the completion of Quran Kareem. This was not possible during that life, the compilation of Quran Kareem at least. This was not possible during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because wahi was being revealed continuously. Whatever Allah Ta'ala desired to change, He changed. After Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, this restraint was removed. If there existed any reason for instituting an act during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would have been carried out without any restraint, but it was not carried out, then even after the demise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such acts cannot be instituted. This would have been to change the deen. If such acts were beneficial, then surely Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have instituted them, or at least encouraged towards them. But since Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not carry out these acts himself, nor did he encourage towards them, therefore it stands to reason that such acts are devoid of any benefits. In fact, it would be classified as bidat as sayyah. Now the text is very clear and definite that during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there existed no impediment to carry out an act, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself did not execute the act, nor did he encourage towards it. It would be classified as bidat as-sayya, even though externally these acts appear as being virtuous acts of ibadat. In this connection, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, follow in our footsteps and do not innovate, make new things. Indeed, you have been sufficed, al-ihtisam. Meaning, he's clearly saying that follow Quran, Sunnah and Sahaba. If they did it, do it. If they did not do it, do not do it. Now all these innovations that are cropping up these days around us, even by so-called pious people, righteous people, so-called knowledgeable people, looking externally very pious, and these acts are looking very smart and very glittering and glamorous. Here is saying, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who is saying that follow our footsteps. Do not innovate. Indeed, you have been sufficed. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala who says, do not make any ibadat that the Sahaba of Rasul Sallallahu did not do, al-i'tisam. Because Shariat is complete, Deen is perfect. We don't have to innovate. And proving that we do not have to make qiyas, wherein there is no need for qiyas. Hafiz Ibn Kasir, Hafiz Imaduddin Rahmatullah Alayhi in Tafsir Ibn Kasir says, the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat states that it is a bidat to carry out whatever act and statement is not established for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Because if that act was a good one, then the Sahaba would most definitely have carried it out. Indeed, if it was a good act, then they could have surpassed us in it. They never left out any virtuous act from the virtuous acts, except that they could have excelled us. So all what you see around us, nowadays people want to have khatams and fatihas and birthday parties and roof wedding ceremonies and bridal parties and circumcision parties and new car party and funny rulings of when people die and people get born. All these things are not part and parcel, and the activities that are now going on in our masajid, which are not proven. So we should abstain from them. What we say that qiyas and ijtihad of a mujtahid is true and haq. Later on, inshallah, I think somewhere in lesson 38 or so, I will define for you who is a mujtahid. So ijtihad and qiyas of a mujtahid, they are true and haq. But this applies only to those acts whose reasons and possibilities become prevalent after the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qiyas and ijtihad is definitely not permissible and valid for any act whose reasons, possibilities and need existed during the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba. Nowadays, almost all the acts of innovation that are prevalent are acts whose reasons and possibilities existed during the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In such acts, there is only success and benefit in following the footsteps of those illustrious personalities. By opposing them and acting contrary to their actions brings only the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not have definitely be pleased. So, on one side, alhamdulillah, we know clearly the system to be followed. That is the Quran, the Sunnah, Sahaba, and Ijma, and lastly, Qiyas. It is stated in the footnote number 14 of Kitab Fawaidul Salafiyah, which is astonishingly a kitab of the Ghair Mukallid, under the ayat All of you must follow that which has been revealed to you from your Rabb. It is stated there that if any matter is not proven from the Quran or Hadith, then one may refer to the consensus of opinion and ijtihad. Because these two are branches to the Quran and Sunnah. Now, alhamdulillah, we know all four proofs are mentioned in Quran Sharif. After the order of obeying and following Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is the order of following the Ulul Amr, the knowledgeable ones, who are the people of Istinbat, the Mujtahideen. Similarly, there is a reference made to obeying the rulings of the Fuqaha, the Juro consultants. And there is also the mention made of Ijma, consensus, being regarded as a valid proof in Sharia, which we have discussed in detail. For example, we have mentioned Surah Nisa, Ayat 115, and whoever contradicts and opposes the Rasul, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the right path has been shown clearly to him, and follows other than the believer's way, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen, and burn him in Jahannam. What an evil destination. In Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has taken proofs from the Quran and from the Ahadith. He also uses Ijma as Sharia proof. He has quoted Ahadith under the following hadith: hold on fast to the Jama'ah of Muslims and their Imam. One who separates oneself from the Jama'ah of Muslims, even a handspan, will die the death of ignorance. There is an order to even execute those who separate themselves from the Jama'ah of Muslims and their Imam. They will leave Islam in the way an arrow leaves its bow. Wherever you see them, you should kill them. Their killing will be rewardable on the day of Qiyamah. Another place, a group will emerge amongst from you who will belittle your salat over theirs and your fast over theirs and your actions over theirs. They will recite Quran, which will not pass their throats, have no effect upon them. They will leave the deen like the arrow leaves its bow. These people will emerge before Qiyamah. Only those who are deficient in age and knowledge will join them. Their Jama'ah will be devoid of juro consultants. They will recite the Quran and Hadith, but it will have no effect upon their hearts and lives. They will leave Islam as fast as an arrow leaves its bow. It is for this reason that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has included ijtihad and qiyas as valid Sharia proofs. In fact, even a mujtahid makes an error in his judgment, he will be rewarded, as we have quoted hadith before. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also made qiyas when he compared the offsprings of the camels to that of the humans. That has also passed with the hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then there was the qiyas of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. There was the ijtihad of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain regarding the matter of Banu Qurayza, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledgement of both views when the Sahaba made qiyas when they are going to make the Asr Salah. Nabi akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted, acknowledged and approved and did not disprove or refute, or he did not get angry. There is consensus that the principles of fiqh are based upon Adilla Arba, four sources: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, Qiyas. The acceptance of fiqh is the acknowledgement of these four sources. Therefore, the acceptance of the four sources is the acceptance of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, not those who deny Ijma and Qiyas. There is not a single hadith in Bukhari which renders the acceptor of Ijma or Fiqh as a kafir, mushrik or bidah. of bidati. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi himself refers to fiqh as being the fruits of hadith. Imam Bukhari has in many places proven his view of the sayings of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Imam Bukhari stated that hadith wherein there is a prophecy of Persian person who was to compile and structure the deen during the Khair Qurun, the best of ages, this prophecy has been echoing on the lips of many, that it refers to none other than Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. This prophecy comes in Bukhari, volume 2, page 985. In effect, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh has made apparent the truthfulness of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, who are the acceptors of the four sources of jurisprudence fiqh. In particular, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, who was the Persian mujtahid from the Khair Qurun. In Muslim, Imam Muslim has also mentioned the same ruling regarding the four sources of fiqh. It is stated in volume 2, page 127, hold on fast to the Jama'ah of Muslims and their Imam. Another place it is stated, one who separates oneself from the Jama'ah of Muslims, even a handspan, will die a death of ignorance. There are also many examples such as these, which denote Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi acknowledgement, approval and sanction of the four sources of Sharia, which we, for so many lessons, are proving regarding ijtihad. Imam Muslim mentions regard the double reward for a mujtahid when he correctly rules on an issue, and one reward if he errs. The qiyas of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam regarding the two women. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's qiyas regarding the depth of Hajj are also stated in volume 1. There is also mention made of the Persian mujtahid, page 312, volume 2. The truthfulness of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat is apparent in Muslim Sharif, especially the virtues of the Ahnaf. In opposition to this, it is mentioned of the deviate and the deviating people. Surely Allah Ta'ala will take away knowledge from the people. He will take away the learned people, and the knowledge will be taken away with them. Only ignorant people will remain. They will pass fatwa rulings without any knowledge. They will be astray, and they will lead others astray as well. The following hadith is also mentioned. There will be such people from the last of my ummah who will relate to you that which you have not heard, nor have your fathers heard. Jami Tirmizi, Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayhi, also relates hadith pertaining to ijma. In the chapter Babul Fitan, he mentions about holding on fast to the jama'ah. He also reports from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is necessary for you, O Muslims, to hold fast to the Jama'ah. Sure, save yourselves from separating from the Jama'ah. Surely Shaitan is with the single person, and he remains far from two. Whoever desires Jannah must remain with the Jama'ah. Surely Allah Ta'ala will never unite my ummah, or he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon falsehood, and the hand of Allah Ta'ala is upon the Jama'ah. Whosoever deviates from Jama'ah, a deviation will be in the fire. Regarding ijtihad, the following narration appears in Tirmizi. If the Hakim Muslim ruler makes a ruling, he must make ijtihad. If he is correct, he will receive double reward, And if he errs, he will receive one. Page 210. It is ascertained that in those masail wherein there is ijtihad, the mujtahid will make the ijtihad, and others will follow and practice upon his ruling. This is known as taqlid. If a non-mujtahid does not follow the rulings of a mujtahid, and rather he follows his own understanding, then the doors of hidayat, guidance, are closed for him. In the chapter Babul Ilm, Imam Tirmidhi mentions a hadith, that person for whom Allah Ta'ala wishes good, he bestows him with thick understanding of deen. By mentioning the hadith, many carriers of fiqh are not faqis. He proves that the understanding of the muhaddiseen is not a valid proof in sharia, but the understanding of the faqih does constitute a valid proof in sharia. In essence, Imam Tirmizi also extols the virtues and the validity of Adilla Arba. In Abu Dawud, Imam Abu Dawud Ramtulahi has proven the validity of Ijma by mentioning the hadith of 73 sects which are to arise in this Ummat before Qiyamah. He also states, the saviors of the congregation of Muslim is the Jama'ah. Another hadith, he who separates from the Jama'ah, regarding ijtima, he states the hadith, if the hakim makes a ruling, same hadiths. In Abu Dawud, as well, are numerous examples wherein Imam Abu Dawud proves Adilla Arba. In Nisai, Imam Nisai, Ramatullahi mentions the hadith, he who separates from the Jama'ah, in substantiation of Ijma. He also mentioned the hadith, if the hakim makes a ruling, in substantiation for qiyas. So we can see from all this that all the great imams, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Nasai, they are saying that those who understand the purport of the hadith are the fuqaha. And they are proving the Adilla Arba, four sources, which we are stressing upon and proving for so many lessons now. In this present age of ours, a new group has sprung up who claim to follow hadith. In reality, they are far away from the hadith. They regard as trivial many hadith. They find any flimsy excuse to reject many hadith. They also regard as insignificant the speech and action of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala from Ajbain. They regard themselves as muhakkikin, learned scholars and researchers of deen. They are the ones who are destroying the shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are annihilating the signs of sunnah. They devise all sorts of plans and present excuses. Although they claim they are al-hadith, but they plan all sorts of excuses to reject so many ahadith, which they dub as zayif, zayif. So may Allah Ta'ala first of all grant us ability to understand. In inshallah lesson 38, I will define who is a mujtahid and the levels of ijtihad, or the categories of mujtahid. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.